Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, for everything that you've done in our life. Thank you, Jesus, that today's message, Lord, and I pray it will touch every one of us. I dedicate my mind and my lips and my tongue, Lord, and my voice box to you. Let every word that comes will come from you, not from me, not from the flesh or the carnal mind. Let it be your spirit-filled word, that every word that comes out will fulfill its purpose for every one of them here who catches the fire, who catches the word. Let the word grind, and let every one of us, Lord, be grind, including me, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So we have been doing the powers of Jesus Christ for a purpose. I did not do it by just chance, but we did it by purpose. That we have seen how God's, when Jesus Christ walked in this earth, how even the nature abided in him. Sickness abided in him. Sickness flew away. Demons were scared of him and ran away. Right? From Mark chapter 1 to Mark chapter 5. And Mark chapter 6, where we entered, even after he raised the dead girl, gave life to a dead girl. And now you see he entered into chapter 6. We'll find first verse to the verses where you'll find Jesus was not accepted. So last week, 2 weeks ago, what we talked about is when you are too familiar with something, familiarity creates contempt. Amen? Familiarity brings contempt. That's what we talked about last time. So sometimes, some of them say, Pastor, you know why I'm angry with my wife? Or you know why I'm angry with my husband? Because we are too familiar. Familiarity should not bring anger, my friend. Familiarity should bring to build somebody together. Amen? So he was rejected. Jesus was rejected. And today we want to see the next thing after that, after the rejection. What you see in the chapter is from verse 1 to 6, you'll find Jesus was rejected. And now, let's go to verse 7 to verse 13. Verse 7 to 13. Jesus did not go to a corner and cry because he was rejected. He didn't go to a place where he plateaued and sit down and dream about what he's supposed to be like. But Jesus continued working. Let's see at chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 7 onwards. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirit. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money bags, belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from the place, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Amen. Amen. You see, Jesus now comes out from his own entire place, Nazareth, now comes to another place, now sits down with he called the 12 people, 12 disciples to himself. He draw them nearer to him, and he said, I want to send you out two by two. You see, Jesus, you must say, he draw them to him. Jesus selected the 12 disciples who were not of the same nature. They were not schooled people. The only person who was schooled in that place is only one person, called his name was Matthew, the tax collector. The others were not schooled. Because when a schooled person, he has got a character which has been reformed, the mind has been characterized, but the mind has been already statued, this is the way you must be, it's been ordered the way. So you, when you are schooled, you will have an order the way you want to behave, the way you think, the alignment of the thoughts will be same. So Jesus only took one man among that. Then the rest all were unschooled people. Fresh of mind, who are rowdies out there. Who are people out there not doing anything much, but only basic workers, farmers, fishermen. Do you see the characteristics of his people? And he also brought one man who likes money, who likes mammon. And Judas was his name. Judas Iscariot. There was another Judas also. Judas Iscariot was his name. So he had a mixture of a group of people, a betrayer. He had a schooled person, a betrayer and a who loves mammon. And he had a people who would like to do business. A laid back man like people like Peter. Whatever be, let it be la. Aiyah, I'll face it la. Characteristics. You know, so characters of the people. Jesus chose all of them. And after choosing them, and he draws them, the word of God says, he called to themselves, he called to him. That means when he called to him means, he did not just say, ah, come, sit down here, I want to have a meal. No, no. He, when he called to him, he says, I'm not want to talk to you now, I want to do something with you now. There must be a transaction within both of us now. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the olden days, when the Jews call somebody and sit in the city gates, and they sit down at the outside gate there, and they will sit down and they wait. When the people are called together, even Boaz the man, he went into a city gate in order for him to get Ruth as his wife. He had to exchange. There was a calling. There was a trading that time. A trading was taking place at that time. So when Jesus called to him, there is going to be a trading now. There's going to be a commandment now. There's going to be something that is going to be released out of him. Amen? So knowing the characteristics of the people as introduction, knowing what he's going to do now, he called to himself. Then he gave them a mission statement. He had a mission statement for himself. He gave a mission statement. But before he gave the mission statement, he did something with them. Number one, he says, the word of God says that, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. His instruction was to send out them two by two. Now I'm going to ask you today, I want you to pair with somebody and I want you to go out. Can you just imagine the man who's going to pair with Judas Iscariot? How many of us want to be walking with a traitor? Right? And everything he sees is money. Everything he sees is something else. In the world, mammon means is the world, right? And you are supposed to walk with him. How are you going to handle pair with a man who is a learned man, like Matthew, an unlearned man? There was a pairing now. Jesus said, I'm going to pair you now, and you're going to go out now. But the next word he says that, he gave them power. Let's look at the word give. My message will be short, don't worry. Because some of you are worried and complain the message is too long, Pastor. Make it 20 minutes, that half minute. Let's look at one thing now. He says, give. I want to ask somebody to come up here. Brother Ann, can you come here, brother? Stand up, brother. Brother Ann, I give you my Bible, you go out and read from there. Brother, I give you my Bible, you go out and read from there. What is it doing? Still standing there. Why? Because there was not an impartation of giving the Bible to him. When I give the Bible to him, go and read there, he will definitely read. He's got it now. What I have, I shared with him. That's what he gave, right? The word gave. If you go and see the... Thank you, brother. If you go and sit down and see the word, original word for giving is called impartation. Impartation. In other words, give is impart something from you to another person. So there was a trading between Jesus and his disciples at the time. The 12 of them he called, he traded with them. He traded, first of all, he trained them. He trained them, he taught them a few things, and he showed them the miracles from chapter 1 to chapter 5. He showed them miracles, and when he was rejected, even in Nazareth, the people have seen it, when his rejection time, Jesus, the disciples walked with him. In chapter 3, he chose them. And after chapter 3 in the book of Mark, you will find that every one of them were trained naturally. Their theological school and their Bible school was not in a classroom, but was in the open air. Every day walking with a person became their theological school. Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you with me? If you attach to something, somebody like Jesus, and you ask Jesus to teach you, and Jesus will impart with you something, and the moment you is imparted, then only know. So the teaching, you must know the word of God first. Unless you want to know Jesus Christ, you must know the word. If at all that you want to know Jesus Christ more and more, there is no man in the world can explain to you. I cannot even, after reading the gospel, I was inspired by the way that how Jesus was called from the beginning of the Bible until the end of the Bible. You know his names? How many names has he got? That is why John is very apt by saying, he is really right by saying that if you write down all those things Jesus has said and done, the books cannot cover. I understand him. Do you know why? The way he is called, you know, from the beginning until the end, he's got so many names. So many names. You can't comprehend him. The only way to comprehend him is to know and go into the depth of the word. At least read the word. You don't know the word, don't read the word. Very simple to read. It's very simple. Go and sit down one corner in the house. Close the door if your husband or your wife is making some noise, when you're making some noise. Or you close the door wherever you are sitting down. Read. I went and visited somebody's house sometimes back in somewhere in Old Klang Road. And this man has got a beautiful place, nice and everything. And you see the maid is also Christian. She's from Indonesia. She has got a Bible. She has got a toilet. And she's got a room beside a toilet. So I had to use the toilet the day I went to the toilet. It was the nearest where we were sitting near a dining room. Went to the toilet. As I sat down, I saw a Bible beside that at a window there, a painter, very nicely written up, very nice Bible there. I said, Lord, your word is even in the toilet. You know why? This girl goes inside and it's not an English toilet, English Bible, it's a Malay Bible, Indonesian Bible. The small cute one, you know, have you seen the one they keep in the wallet and go like a wallet like? She reads even in the toilet. Not a romantic book. Not a book that is, you know, talks about this, you know, latest one. I don't know what's the name. I forgot all the names already. The romanticism she had with the Lord Jesus Christ is so great. No wonder psalmist, when Solomon wrote this, Songs of Solomon, when you read, if you don't have the spiritual mind, you will be led through carnal mind. See the love story Jesus speaks. And this girl even read in the toilet. Can you just imagine that she gives every part of her life is Jesus Christ. Every part of her life is Jesus Christ. So in order for you to know Jesus Christ, this man and woman, this man, the 12 men, walked with him. There were others who followed him. But these 12 of them were tutored in the open air daily life school by Jesus Christ. His life is the school of theology. It's the school of Bible school. His life is the school that can make us a new character, that we can resurrect in him in a new character, new way, new things. Only his life. Because no man has seen God and has ever lived after that. The only one who can manifest to us and talk to us about God and his ways and his plans and the things that he has is only Jesus Christ and nobody else. The only way to know Jesus Christ, and I tell you, I wish I was there. And God know my character probably. He says, no, I want to throw you out this generation. So he said, yeah, you come out this generation. For the season. God knows. This is my season. And I know, after a little bit of graying hair here, all now only realize, that is grinding me. He's been grinding me. He's been grinding me. He's been grinding me. Every word that came, grinding, grinding, grinding. So today I realize that today I can tell you, I didn't realize that when the word of grinding means, what a grinding means, he is going to make you, mold you. In order to mold you, you must be a clay first. Right? But God made a mistake by making from the clay, he took us out and formed us to be hard already now. It's so hard that he calls us stiff-necked. What head he called? Stiff-necked, yes. What is the head he has got he called us? Hard head. When I was playing marble, it's called, what do you call the one, the small one? The only one egg you cannot break? China egg. You play, that one cannot break, you know. The rest, all the other ones, you can marbles, you can break. That, the China egg, you see that? This one today, very difficult, tough. So, we are like China eggs, the marbles. No wonder, he has to grind us now. Right? And in the whole Bible he says, I regret making man. Only once he said that. Only once he said that. And now only person who can actually grind us is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you have got a Bible at home, and you are resting the Bible and giving air condition or no air condition, doesn't matter, and help the Bible to collect some dust, and I pray that you will come to know the life of Christ. Open the Bible. Read it aloud. In faith. You don't understand the word, doesn't matter. Even till today, I don't understand many words. I is the truth. I can't pronounce some words. Some words come out, I also don't know how to pronounce it. Doesn't matter how I pronounce. Whether I see the word, it's inside my heart or not, first of all. It's not whether I understand the word. The day will come, the season will come, God will give you that ting, the bulb will come up here. And that's the day, no more heart, head. So now I know when I learn this, and I say, oh, ding, you're grinding me, Lord, grinding me, the cornerstone. Every time the cornerstone, but not the grinding word. What comforts? He's the cornerstone. But his purpose being the cornerstone, you must understand. We know something, a car, if we don't use the car will be there, nicely there. Do you understand, not? I've seen people who buy expensive beds, but they don't sleep on the bed, they'll sleep on the floor, on the carpet. Then I say, expensive. You know, sure. Have you seen that? I had in my life. You go to the house, kenapa tak pakai, tak mati no? Oh, eh, dah, you tahu tak ini? Ini, I'm sorry, I'm taking some of you, I'll explain it. Dah, you tahu tak ini? Berapa banyak duit saya bayar? You know how much I paid for this, Wow, expensive. You know this one, And they don't sleep on it. Because they scared the spring or the foam will go down or the rubber will go down. And then the linen will be worn out. Right? If you've got that kind of character, I will see it in your car. When you buy the car, you're supposed to use the car. You paid so much money for the car. You go and buy the most expensive kind of thing to shield your seat. The seat doesn't get dirty. You know the character? You must use that car. Unless you use it, you don't know how it feels like. Unless you use it, you don't know the comfort of it. Unless you use it, you wouldn't know how to see how, this how it feels like. It's rough a little bit, very smooth a little bit, the seat. You don't know. We have to use that seat. We have to use that bed. We have to use the word of God. Let's not, this church members here come and tell me, Pastor, I've not read the word of God. The church has given 3 years now. 6 or 8 times now. 6 to 7 times, I think, with this year. Reading of the gospel. You've not used it, you've missed it. I want to repeat again. You've not used it, you've missed it. Wait for the season next year. And I pray you'll use it. When you come and read here, you'll use it and experience that desire, the hunger, you'll go back home and read. Amen? Amen? So unless and until you use it, the disciples know about him. He knows exactly what he did. He saw, the disciples saw, even all of the disciples were not there. 3 of them were there when he raised the dead. The child was dead, Jairus dead. Jairus' daughter, he raised it up. You follow what I mean? But today all of us know about it because they wrote it. At that point of time, only 3 of them knew. And Jairus and his wife. Brothers and sisters. Because he knows, Jesus knew, they were ready now. There was a time in our life, there are times and seasons in our life that we're asking, I'm praying, I'm not getting, are you ready? So that you can get the power of God. He traded with them power. The next word says that he gave them power. What did he say? Can you all say it? 1, 2, 3. Loud, come on, this church is loud, the pastor is loud, he must be loud. He gave what? He gave them power. Can you repeat that?
He gave them power.
Amen. Come on.
He gave them power.
Now say, he gave me power.
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 If you don't believe that, now miracles will have happened in your life. There was a trading. And he says, I give you power. Go. What is the next word he said? Can somebody read? He gave them power to do what? To heal the sick. What else? The next verse. He gave them power to? Over Eve, unclean spirit. The first word is unclean spirit. Brothers and sisters, what is actually doing in our life? Jesus knew how to do the first thing. He didn't see the miracle first. He didn't see that thing. He said, over unclean spirit. He gave power for what? Over unclean spirit. Every power that brings us, everything that we are doing today, our immorality, our thoughts, our way of being, is this evil spirit. So get that evil spirit out of you. If that spirit is out of you first, then that is all will work. Sometimes we pray. He didn't say devil, you know. Can you see that? Did he say devil? The word said what? Can you read that again? Please, I want you to say, understand what I'm saying today. Every un? Why? Why? Sometimes we look at a devil. Devil doesn't even touch you yet. Inside you feel, oh, all kind of nonsense you do. Go and correct your mind first. It's not the spirit. The spirit of the fellow is looking at you. He's looking. See, I didn't even touch the fellow. He's already behaving. I don't have to go inside him. He's already behaving like me already. Ah! Oh, my character. You see, I'm standing here only. He got the image of myself already. My character. He's not even touched you. And he claimed to be him. Powers over yourself too. Every thoughts. Every high thing inside yourself, cleaned up first. Amen. From the beginning of the Bible until the end of the Bible when you read, what did you all see? Those of you who have been here, what did you see? God is holy. Let's not forget that. God is?
Holy.
If God is holy, that is why He created us to be holy. Somewhere the bridge was broken. Now Jesus made the bridge. Let's not shake the bridge. Let's use the bridge. Let not cling on to one of the pillars of the bridge and say, I am Jesus Christ, child. Use it. Use the bridge. He didn't say, you stand beside me and confess, that's it. He said, he sent them two by two. He sent them two by two. Brothers and sisters, it's shake-up time for us. I don't care what you say, but it's shake-up time for us. If the church has got to grow, if the church has got to be what it's got to be in the ex-church, we have to shake up. He then sent them out two by two, and he gave them some specific mission. I'm not going to do all my messages, like it'll take 1 hour, okay? We'll jump. He gave them specific message. When you go to the place, he said, what do you do? He said, what do you take? He commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. Alright? What is a staff? What is a staff? Tongkat. What was the staff used for? Shepherding, okay. What was the staff else used for? Sometimes your back is heavy, you put on the staff and carry, isn't it? Right? What else do you use the staff for? To walk. When the terrains are high and low, you can use the staff and go down to the terrain. You can, when it's high, you can use the staff. Not only your leg, the power of your hands. And then you can rise up. You need a staff only. You don't need a motorcycle. You don't need bicycles. You don't need any cars, vehicles. Nothing. You only need a staff that gives you support to yourself. Secondly, he said that no bread. Ayo, Pastor, Jesus, you don't know me. Every time I'm eating, assuming Peter was a eater every time and then, he said, Ayah, Jesus, I'll be hungry, la. 5 minutes later, I walk 5 minutes, I'll be hungry, la. No bread, la. No bread, I cannot live. And that's why Jesus says, the bread which comes from, the manna that comes from heaven, is the bread. Is the bread. You don't have to worry about your bread. Why do you worry in the journey of your bread? If he sends you, he'll provide for you. unless you're not sent by God. If He sent you, He'll provide for you. The third thing He says what? No copper in the mine. Hayo. Never mind lah, no bread, I don't think. At least I must have some money lah, I can buy something somewhere. That also don't have. Jesus say, what? Ayo, Jesus, to follow you very difficult lah. How to follow you so strict like this? How to preach the word of God when it's so strict like this? In short, go back to my preaching the other day. Trusting Him. Believing in Him. Knowing that He will do everything for you. The faith that brings forth every blessing that He wants to give it to you. The faith that will provide the needs when you are journeying. The faith that He'll provide, even now, whatever you are in trouble, that He'll provide for you. How do you know that faith? Faith comes by? Can you speak it loud, please? Faith comes by? Faith comes by? Hearing the what? Word what? Hearing the? Where is the word of God? Amen. At least somebody will know where is it. So you don't have to go shopping outside, ask the teta and mama, can you give me word of God? I want to drink it. You cannot drink. You can hear. Why you must hear? Because your soul is alive. Your spirit is alive inside. Unless you hear those things, your spirit man rise up and is food for him. When it's food for him and you give feed your spirit man becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. If you don't feed your spirit man, you only eat with the bread and buy money, got copper money, go and buy everything there and eat everything. You only feed your body, your stomach, the natural stomach. Your spirit man is dying. So your stomach becomes bigger like mine, or bigger than some of you here. And then after that, it suppresses the spirit stomach. No wonder when we eat, our stomach becomes bigger. We don't eat, it becomes smaller. And when we don't eat, the spirit man will become bigger. Because there's no compression within this, competition within these two stomachs. The stomach, the back of the Holy Spirit, and the back of the natural food for us. So when this one becomes bigger, it suppresses the other one. Because behind is the backbone already. The bone is so hard, it has got to be suppressed. So the fellow is strangling. I don't have food. But you're happy. I'm happy, energized already. But that poor man is struggling inside you. When you are with less food, suddenly the bub, I just thought of it like just now. See, when you don't have food, suddenly a lot of things will come because you will heard one or two words of God, that itself gives you empowerment. Honestly, I ask you, from the front to the end, how many of you know the word from the beginning to the end? None of us know. We don't know, we can't memorize everything by heart. But somewhere, when you read something, the spirit man is stored up, the memory. That memory power, no gigabytes, what trigabytes, or don't know, whatever bytes you have in the world, even those bytes, this spirit man byte will just bite it up. He's so big. He don't have to swallow, he just goes inside, because he's big. So that spirit man has received that, stored it up inside you, so that has become bigger and bigger. We don't have to call for it, I've got a backup now, one small thing they call it. I don't know what, I bought one 500 gigabyte, I don't know what they call it. Small thing which I don't even know how to use. Brother Andrew has to help me out the other day how to use it. So when he used it, after he transfer everything, I don't know how to open it because I didn't see how he put it inside. If it is food, I know I can put it through my mouth. Same way the spirit man, when he receives it, he keeps it. Only is triggered up when you are hungry, when you need it. So Jesus knew what man will be like. So He says, go without all this. Time and season will come. At that point of time, I will give you the food. At that time I'll give it to you. Only thing that you strengthen yourself and walk all the way. Amen? Amen? Praise God. No one complains now, no hungry. Hungry, yeah? We'll go on. So he says, next one, he says, no muddy belts, to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics, not to bring two tunics. Why two tunics? Why sandals? Why not a nice shoe? Brothers and sisters, he was sending to the people who are the common people in the land. The common people don't have expensive and all those, whatever brand, what I can't pronounce some of the brands, like, it doesn't come to my mind now. Whatever brands you have there, they don't advertise to them. Because you're not supposed to be going there today, one dress, tomorrow another, just like your pastor now. Suddenly he's got, somebody blessed him with this batik. Every week there's one new batik. So it's a fashion show. Jesus didn't ask you to go for a fashion show. He asked you to go for a what? Ministering. Hello? So much so today, they took it practically nowadays. I see some of them who are men of God only wear sandals. No socks. Right? But they have 3-4 shirts. Jesus said, you bring only one. You know why? Because you're going to common. Only the rich ones will have a lot of clothing and familiarities. When you go to commoners, be like them. In order to be with them, you must be with them to be like them. Hello? So unless and until we go to the people as they are, we can't capture them into the kingdom of God. We cannot judge them. You see, I'm wearing nice dress. No, you also must change and come. We have rules and regulations for them. But Jesus didn't tell the preachers to go out there and have fashion shows. Only the rich, they have to have those dining, they have their own shoes, whatever, different types, they have different shoes, different apparels for them to wear. But not here. Jesus is sending us to the common people, to the common. No wonder Jesus says, those who, he knows some of them cannot accept him. He knows everything else. That is why after his rejection, he's sending the people out. He didn't send before the rejection, after rejection, to show the disciples that even in his own house, people rejected him. In his own town, people rejected him. So we must understand, we have to be with the people, and the people has to be with us. Amen? I'm trying to compress everything. And then he says, go to a place, enter a place. In the place when you go, you must enter a place, the house that the person gives you, whether it's a shed or a big bungalow or it's just an ordinary house or is it under a tree, doesn't matter. Stay the person there. No wonder in the Bible it says, when you go to a place, look for a man of favor or a woman of favor. When you find in the woman of favor or a man of favor in the city or a town, you stay with them until you have completed what you are supposed to do, your mission. Right? The man of favor or a woman of favor in the place will keep you. They will provide for you. Amen. And you don't ask in the man of favor when you go to a small kampong somewhere, you ask for a burger. I want burger and Coca-Cola today for my dinner. My lunch, I want pizza, the one from Desa Sri Artamas, below the church, Amazing Grace. Nothing else will complete. We have to be with them, not what they provide, you eat. If they give you porridge today, eat porridge. I hate porridge. I don't like porridge. Sometimes I take some friends and go for porridge eating. They say, Pastor, why must you eat porridge? You're not poor, Sometimes, the people Jesus is wanting you to touch are the people without anything substance. They only have that. Eat it with a joyful heart, a thankful spirit, with a word of thanks to the people who supply you, even that small porridge. God is asking us to humble ourselves when we go to preach. God is asking us to humble ourselves as Christians. Everyone who's called to be a Christian, to be a believer, a follower of Christ, is a disciple of Christ. You automatically have the license to be the disciple. And everyone, not one left, has to have the spirit of this discipleship. What are the qualities he's talking about? Humble yourself. Even you have so much, don't show off. Even you have the world around you, you don't show off. follow the wind of God. Don't follow your own wind. Unless and until you follow your own wind, you will find you can't go through the breakthroughs. And you will never depart from the place. If you find favor today in this person's house who is very humble, and the person's place is very, very humble, and it's difficult to eat, even the food you're eating is difficult, and suddenly you went around ministering in the village, or you came to know more people, and somehow or other something happened when you did some miracle, somebody heard, and they want to bring you to another house, which is a bungalow. Say, I'm sorry, sir. I am now in the custody of this man's house, and I shall not leave that house. Hello? God says, whenever you are tempted, to go out from where the humble beginning is, don't be tempted. Stay with Him. And you'll find God will bless you through that person who's humbled you. Amen? Praise God. Wonderful. Are we there? Then He says, when they have gone out to preach, and they did the work, ministry, when they did not accept you, He says, when you come out, you dust your feet, dust your shoe, or garments. I can give you scriptures if I go through all my messages, you know. According to the Old Testament, you'll find, when the persons, when they go out, in the Testament, you'll find, in Deuteronomy and also, when they go out of the city of the Israelites, when they went out of the city, when they went to the pagans' places, when they come back, they dust off their shirt, their dress, and the dust. Why? To say that whatever it is there, they have left. I'm not part of that. I'm entering back into my house. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you don't take part in that pagan worship, or whatever it has happened. So whatever the people don't accept Christ Jesus at a time, whatever teachings they're supposed to do, which I'll come back afterwards, they did not accept. You just say, come outside, and you just dust. No wonder Jesus Christ said, woe to you. Woe to you. Wherever He said, woe to you, that was His way of telling them off, dusting his feet off. Nothing prospered after that, including the tree, fig tree. Do you see the power? So you must dust off. You have nothing to do with the person who's barren at a time. You have nothing to do with this. And when God now, when Paul speaks about, what have a man who is clean, who's got to be with drunkards, with people who are sinning, with a person who is a war, a person who is involved in prostitution, a person who's involved in stealing, a person who's involved in the worldly things, what have we got to do with it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that spirit does not infect you, but you should be infecting that spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying? Hello? Are you catching what I'm saying? Paul himself says, a couple of times in the epistles, in Corinthians, and a couple of other epistles, he says that very clearly. What have you got to do with people who are brothers? He's not talking about people outside, you know. You know what I mean? He says, whenever the Bible says brothers, it's not only your own brother, it talks about our sisters, he's talking about the body of Christ. Whenever we talk in the New Testament, whenever they are saying your brother, means it is the body of Christ. When the bread was broken for us, when the body of Christ was broken for us, we all become part of the body of Christ, and we call ourselves brothers and sisters. Are we there? So wherever there is a mention of brother, it doesn't mean to say my blood relations only. I've got a new DNA. My DNA is called Jesus' DNA. Wherever I see another person say Jesus, I say, amen. Praise God. He's my brother, my sister. I will tell you this. I shifted to a new place about 3 months ago, August. And I always see that my next door neighbor is the corner lot. I'm this side. It's an apartment. And I always see that door locked. Last few days ago, after praying here, and I wanted to go and really have a nice wash in my house, my bathing here, and I wanted to go and bathe there nicely and change myself and come. I went home there. I went inside. I wanted to rest. I didn't feel my heart to rest in my house. So I said, I must go here. Even I'm sitting upstairs, I'm listening to the word of God. And I'm following the word of God. When somebody reads here, I'm still following upstairs, or I'm listening to the word of God. So I want to be in the presence. So I came out. When I came out, I see the next door open for the first time. Came out a beautiful lady. Then followed by another handsome man. And then I said, hello. They say hello to me. And then he says, we talked about, how long have you been here? I said, I just came in. Oh, we also came in here quite recently, in about September. We were staying somewhere in the 7th floor, and now we've gone up to the 9th floor now. Oh, I say, see. How do you find sleeping here? Okay lah. Myself, I said, no, I don't feel sleeping, because the guys ramming their motorcycle at 2 o'clock in the morning, wakes me up. And then 3 o'clock again, they were ram, I wake up again. And then they gave their name. I gave my name, and they gave their name. I said, your name sounds like Christian. You look like a Christian. I'm a Christian, Pastor. She said, I'm a Christian, sir. I go to Hope Church. Praise the Lord, I said. I'm also a Christian. I also believe in Christ. Oh, wonderful to have a Christian beside my house. So, from that place until the 3rd floor, where they were also going to the same car, we were talking about Christ. Before I parted, I said, I'm Pastor James now. Oh, Pastor! Can you just imagine? It's a blood relationship. It's a blood relationship. It's not your blood any longer, but the blood of Jesus Christ. The DNA of Jesus Christ. If we have the DNA of Jesus Christ, we will click with everybody. We'll understand everybody. We'll have the character of everybody, Jesus Christ. The DNA has to be really established. In order to give that DNA, I want to emphasize again, the power to the DNA is the Word of God. Nothing else. Nothing else. Amen? Praise God. And he says, when you dust off, and he says, those people who did not accept you at that time, the worst to them, the things that on the day of judgment will come is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. The way God judges Sodom and Gomorrah, it'll be worse than that. If you go back and see in Genesis what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. The whole city was destroyed. People were destroyed. The growth was destroyed. Cattle were destroyed. Entire city was really run down. Nothing. Brimstone fire came down upon that city. If that is what he say, wow, it's really worse. He says, worse than that is going to be for the people who don't accept. My questions, brothers and sisters, we have heard this far already. What was Jesus doing when he sent them out 2 by 2? 2 by 2 is because, you know why? So that they have a witness. You go back and see in the Old Testament, there because there will be a witness. One shall be a witness for the others. And also to encourage and to pray. Alright? You'll see in Deuteronomy, you see in Leviticus, you'll find that he sent you by 2 by 2 to fulfill. Now, all this while, when they went out, what was Jesus doing? Is there any record of Jesus, what he was doing? My second question is, Jesus was not crucified on Calvary yet. What was their message? Two questions. Question number one, what was Jesus doing when they went out to do ministry? 2 by 2. What was their message? Because Jesus is not crucified. Praise God. At least I heard one voice says repentance. They preached the same message as what John the Baptist said and Jesus said. Repent, the kingdom of God is here. Repent, the kingdom of God is here. And what was Jesus doing? Do you think that he will be sitting out only praying? Understand Jesus Christ. Must know Jesus Christ. You mean to say they went out for 3 days or 5 days, 6 days? They came back all the while he was sitting down in one place and praying only? He was teaching. He was doing miracles. He was doing signs and wonders. He will never depart from doing the word of God, whether with his disciples, when disciples are around, or when the disciples are not around. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whether he's with the people or without his people, he will still continue doing his work. And the message is the same. The kingdom of God is here. And the third question I'll ask you, was this effect, if the effect was after Peter said, you are the Son of God, when Jesus asked him, who do you say I am? And he said, Peter said, you are the Son of God. If it is after he said that, his conviction will be greater to go out and preach the message. But if he has not come to that stage, if he has sent them out before this, let's not go into theological schools, no. Let's use our wisdom God has given us. If it is before that, how would he preach the word of God? It's worth a while for us to sit down and ponder for a while and ask God, God, give me that same heart as the apostles had, that I can preach only about Christ, even before going up to the cross. I've got a greater message today. The salvation has come. It was the kingdom which came, but now salvation has come to man, that the breach has been now made now by the cross. The cross became the breach between man, Adam, son of Adam, to God, the Creator. Are we preaching that? Are we using the bridge of the cross in our life? Are we in that same status or greater when they receive the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? Jesus said, when he gave the impartation, when he gave that power to them, he says, greater things you will do. Go back and check. Those of you who read the gospel, you know where I'm talking about. You'll know where I'm talking for him. I want you to go and find out. There are only four gospels. Right? Go and read the four gospels. Find out where is this. Greater things will you do than what I've done. Than the Master. Than Jesus. Because there was an exchange of power. There was not only an exchange. Even before going up to the cross, God gave that power when he was here in this world. When a man gives a power to somebody, he doesn't give when he is dead. He gives to them when he's alive. When a man writes his will, there's a lawyer here, when he writes his will, he doesn't write after he's dead and come up alive and write. He writes it before he's dead. He assigns this will and he says, this house I give to this son, this house, this daughter, this vineyard I give to my daughter, this one I give to so and so. And nothing for the church. I'm not implying, okay? Kingdom of God, nothing. The kingdom of God helped them out to get all this. For the work of God, nothing. All this. You already decided to give what you want to give and to whom do you want to give. Jesus gave the power when he was alive. He did not give the power when he was dead and he was gone and risen again. But he came and reiterated and said, I've given you power. He didn't say, I gave you now, I give you, but he says, I have given you power. Of all authority has been in my hand, I've given you that power. Go in that same power. Amen. Amen. Going 2 by 2. It's important. Doing work, whether you're in 2 by 2 or alone, is another question you have to ask yourself of your commitment to Christ Jesus. What is the commitment to Christ Jesus? What is the commitment that you and I have? What is that commitment that will change our life? What is that commitment that Jesus Christ can grind that part of our life? What is that commitment that I have that it will change my mindset? What is that commitment I have will change my lifestyle? What is that commitment I have to this Jesus Christ that I will change everything in my life? That will be a new character, a new person, as the Bible says. As I am dead in Christ, I shall rise up in Christ as a resurrected person of Christ Jesus. As a winner, as a victorious person. And I pray today that we are given that power. This church will rise up. Will no longer depend on somebody else to bring somebody to sit beside you. It is your job as a Christian to bring someone to sit beside you here. Coach them for the whole year of 2012 and release them again in the year 2013. And they shall go out and do the same thing you have done. If we are not doing that, ask ourselves where we stand in our life. Is our commitment showing out or is our commitment inside? Meditation is a wrong concept of the world. To empty your mind and keep quiet. Meditation in Christ Jesus means speak out. Even to ask testimony, I don't get testimonies till today. Ask yourself what Christ has done for you. that you want to magnify God in the world? Ask yourself today, before you go to sleep tonight. Let it be convicting you. The testimony of Christ Jesus is about the testimony of Christ Jesus in your life. It becomes a testimony to others. Where is your testimony? How do we magnify? Are we magnifying Christ Jesus in our walk? What we speak? Brothers and sisters, I leave you with a question. How am I going to be a testimony for Christ Jesus? For what He has done? He says, I'm going to stand you by two. He's brought you to Him, drawn to you to Him. He's changed your life. What is your testimony as you sit down and write something in your life? This morning I received a phone call from somebody. Somebody's been calling me from last night. I slept well after preparing the message. And they asked me, Pastor, I came to know your church. I came to know your church on the internet. Where's your church? Do you have one in Nilai? Friends, sisters, somebody is touched by somebody's testimony in the website. And I receive call. Brother Brian is a testimony. He can come and tell you how many of them are giving testimonies on the thing. We came to know your church through this website and the testimony. Last week when I arrived here, I didn't integrate much of this person. Sister, I think Monica and Sister Jay interrogated the person, talked to them. They found out that, you know, she asked for, was it a counseling? Marriage counseling? They keyed in marriage counseling and asked for a marriage counseling, somebody to give marriage counseling, and came out. Somebody went and replied to them and said, no, you go to this church, you look for this person. Friends, sisters, it's because somebody's testimony is up there and they wrote and says, please go. And they did not give the number, which is my number published there. They gave me the other number, which is not published there. So the person knows me. Knows this church. Your testimony can even in the internet bring somebody to a life. Draw to God. And I pray, I'm going to ask for two testimonies today. As a closing today. I want to ask for a testimony for someone who attended the Kevin Corners and the 3-day seminar here. How you are blessed. I'm going to ask for some testimony today for somebody how you are blessed during the day of 3 days or 4 days we were here reading the Word of God. Only one testimony. If we are bold enough, rise up and come up. Don't have to wait for somebody. Bold enough, rise up and come up here. And see what God has done for you. Come, wherever you are, come. Okay. I'll interpret for her. She speaks to me in a foreign language, I'll interpret for her. She'll speak in a language which is a home. Heavenly language, is it?
In the 3-day program,
the 3 days program of the learning, reading the Word of God, she came to her knowledge of. In this time, I came to my knowledge. The knowledge I received is that every word that you did not understand, now I make you understand. When she was reading aloud here, as she read it, and then the God spoke to her, Lord spoke to her, this is what the understanding that you don't understand, this is what the understanding is of this word, and how you apply it to your life. During the time of the grace message, during the 3 days of the seminar, she attended also, and she came to know about grace deeper and better, and had a knowledge of grace. I pray people will not abuse grace from now on.
So, John wouldn't share, but he was really happy about that.
And she shared it with her husband in England, and he was very happy about it. Praise God. Somebody else who's got a testimony, either one.
I just want to share on the 3-day reading that we had. I want to give glory and praise God that my husband came and my elder son came, and that's really great. And he, yeah, praise God for that. And he and Qiming were when reading, and I was just looking, and I was just praising and thanking God to see them here and reading the Word of God, Father and Son together. And that was in my heart, you know. My prayer was that we can also read the Word of God at home as a family. And then what happened when we were doing the reading, the Spirit of God is so strong. Tears just come out. I saw a lot of sisters crying and a lot of cleansing spirit. And the verses that pop up, you know, it's so relevant to my life and what I've been praying for the past 1.5 years was in Deuteronomy 4 when I read it. And it's so, it's not coincidental, I don't think so, when we put our name down for the schedule. I could have put any time, you know, 24 hours. But that particular one, God spoke to me, was the confirmation in my heart that I wanted, you know, teach your family morning and night, read the Word of God, you know, and bind it to your front foot. So, and there were many other passages that as I read it, it just popped out and, you know, our tears just come out because you know God is and is talking to you. And I believe that everybody hears God's voice. God speaks. It's just that in our busyness and in rushing around and not being still, we just can't hear the voice. So it is more reading the Word and God speaks. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Can I ask a man to come? At least one man. Can I appoint one of them? I know one person has been sitting here all throughout during the time. Can I ask him to come? I am sure he's benefited. I don't have to mention him.
Praise God. I was blessed to partake in this for the very first time. I've never experienced this before. And God has blessed me and allowed me to spend a lot of time here. I spent a lot of time, and it was a good feeling to be here. Hearing the Word of God, just sitting sometimes, just listening or here reading, it makes a difference in how you see the Word of God. I've been reading the Word of God for a long time, but this week has even made it even better and clearer for me in my mind and in my heart. And one of the things that I plan to do when I go back to New York is to introduce this into our church. You know, that I'll let you know so you can pray for us, but I think it's something that should be done. You know, the experience that it should be done. And some reason, Sister Jay and I found ourselves every morning at 5 o'clock being the readers of the Word. But it was good. It was good. God has blessed us, and I just thank God for experience, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Can I invite Brother Raymond? You have got something to say. Come. Don't be shy, brother. Because I've seen him sitting down, going through word by word.
Praise God. I just wanted to say that something. I was sitting next to Honey during one of the reading, and I was touched by the fact that she was weeping during some of the reading, and I was going through the reading myself, and I was not touched at all. I mean, then I compared myself to her. Wow, she's so far ahead. She's so sensitive to the Lord. And, in a way, it ministered to me because I know that my heart is still a little bit hardened compared to her. So I know I need to be more in the presence of the Lord, to be broken and to be grinded, so to speak, to ground. The other thing is that reading one shot, the Word of God, there are certain things that seem to pop out to me, and one of the things was to keep the Sabbath holy, and this was like a constant refrain. Most of the other words don't seem to strike me, but this thing about keeping the Sabbath holy was constantly like a strong reminder to me that we are not to keep, you know, the Sunday defiled. You know, there were so many things that we defiled Sunday with. But this thing was constantly coming to me. The other thing was, for many years since I attended church service and reading the gospel in church, there was one verse that I've always found it so hard to accept. And that was the widow that Jesus was looking, and the widow was coming to the church and giving all of her money, and Jesus praised her, so to speak. And I thought to myself, how could I do that? I mean, it's like I can give a portion of my money because after church I need to go for lunch and, you know, make sure I have money for petrol or for toll or whatever. And I thought, and how could I ever practice what she was doing, to give all of her money and go back empty-handed? And then after that reading, something just struck me, and I was in church, a love offering was collected, and suddenly something prompted me to give everything until I had nothing. You know, and it was not like as if I was giving to get something back in return. And then it suddenly struck me that there was something that was broken inside of me. The fear of not having money in my pocket after church service, so to speak, and not to expect any blessing. Then I was thinking to myself, wow, that was powerful. That reading helped me cure something within me. And the other thing was that I was here from the first day, then I went back for about 12 hours, and on the third day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I stayed until Saturday, 3 o'clock. I was constantly here in church, on standby or either upstairs, but constantly trying to follow the reading or taking part in the reading. But this is what I've always wanted to do, to be able to spend 3 days continuously in the presence of the Lord, but I have not been able to. But just attending this sort of given me that breakthrough that at least, you know, I should be able to do these 3 days of continual praying and whatever in the presence of the Lord, to be able to go through that kind of 3 days of death and resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank Pastor for organizing this and encouraging me to attend this. I see this little breakthrough, not major breakthrough, but things that are breaking into me and grinding a little bit more of myself to the ground. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful.
She said, why is she crying?
Can I give you the retort, Brother Raymond? I cried not because of the reading, but I heard God's voice, and God said He loved Raymond so much, and I just felt that love. As I said, during the reading, God's Spirit is so powerful. And I just felt it, and the tears just came out. I just heard God say, He loves you, Raymond. And that's why I just broke down crying.
Praise
I
God.
Just felt the Holy Spirit's
Praise
love.
God. Brothers and sisters, we can be a Christian throughout our lifetime, but we don't encounter God in somewhere in our life, then we have not reached to that standard where God wants us to rise up. These are activities, could be activities, but these are all Christ-centered activities where you can actually get the word. The other one which we have in this church, which others don't have. I had to go to Jakarta. Some of you all feel that I went during the time of seminar time here. I know in my spirit what I have. I have to pour out what I have inside me. If I don't pour out, God will not pour out more into me. The first encounter I had many years, about 1 year ago, in the year when I went, brothers, with Brother Joseph and another sister to a city called Solo City. As I entered into the city, I became very sleepy. I got down into the airport, I became very sleepy. I was agitated even in the van. They didn't arrange the van, and we were in a place where we do not know where we were going. I think Brother Joseph can testify for that. And then we went, and after that, I was sleepy that I went home after food. I went to the pastor's place. I slept. But evening when they started, I even almost got up late. Brother Joseph is the one who woke me up. I was really drowned with sleepiness.
But that day I encountered with a woman at the beast, on the beast in the sea. First time in my life. That encounter has opened up a few doors for me in my life. My spiritual life. This is the testimony I'm giving you about myself today. That day, the spiritual realm opened up so much, there was a great attack on the sister who went with me that night. Even I asked her to read that passage where the beast, the woman on the beast is being judged. She had a total jaw cramp. Brother Joseph, is that right? Total jaw cramp on the floor, can't even read the word of God. The gospel is there. And immediately the woman from the sea entered into the church, in the church. When we call upon the name of Jesus, that woman left and this sister was released. So God said to me, in the year 2007, I want you to understand me, right? In the year 2007, I do not know about what was happening in my life. Spiritually, I can see things which is not, you can't see sometimes. I'll be walking, I'll see things. I'll see people having things with them. I was a bit amazed with myself. I had an opportunity to be present in Penang for this man called Chuck Pierce. I didn't get a word from him. He preached and he went off. But I had an opportunity, God created an opportunity to stand before him. And I was not there in line to pray, to be prayed for. I was standing far away because all the VIPs were being prayed for. But he called me out from there and he says, young man there, do not worry about the church. I want you to come in front. And I think some of them has recorded that day. I didn't have any record or nothing I had. He said this one thing. God has given you authority over every form of divinities in the world. Then when I had this opening of my eyes, then I understood what God has given me. The last trip when I went to Jakarta, I preached in a church and I said, the Lord is speaking to me now. I was filled with the Spirit of God, was so mighty. That's why Brother Brian said that, Pastor, you spoke differently. The Spirit of God was so mighty on that day. And the Lord, as I prophesied, the Lord says, this church will have the key, the Davidic key to open the spiritual realm, which has been here for many, many, many years. Because the Sultan of the Majapahit kingdom married to the spiritual realm. Until today, you'll find the queen will never sit beside him. It's an empty chair. And everybody who wants powers from everywhere, even Malaysia, they go there to marry to the spiritual realm and they go and have an adultery with anybody's daughter or a man outside in a cave. It's one of the rituals. Brother Joseph can testify for that. So the day when I was in Solo, God opened the four doors which was in the city, which was for the entire region of this Asia. That region spirit came from India. Follow me so far? So God gave me that. I told this person, you have got the key. And I want you to fast for 3 days. As my church has fasted last time, there will be breakthroughs in your church. And that man of God in the church took it very seriously upon what I said. He started fasting. There was a spiritual breakthrough. And they saw the three keys which the devil had, the gates the devil had, was closed in the time. It was a testimony by the pastor and his wife and the elders of the church, the last trip I went. This time, for the first time, a Bible reading was done 3 days continuously. I read the first verse, and after that I started praying with them and started reading the word of God. Not only to the atmosphere and outside of the speakers, but also inside and outside everywhere, because this place we were reading was not in the church, but outside of the church. And it's a prominent place in the city. It's outside where the speakers can be right, where the mosque and this side all were mosque. It was placed and there was mighty works. As I preached in that place that night, the presence of God was so mighty. Everybody who thought that they didn't have marriage problems, all the marriage problems was exposed that night. Including some prominent people there. So God used that night for the gathering of the prominent people to break. And that night God gave me a word that there will be no more marriage in that city any longer. There shall be no more marriage of the Sultan with the spirits every time a Sultan comes into the place. And after prophesying this, I came out. And that man said, this Sultan does not have a daughter any longer. Does not have a son anymore. So next one will be a Sultana, a woman. So she cannot marry to a woman. So God has used me during this time. When there is some calling, sometimes I go for the calling. And I pray I've been kept here for very many years. I've abided. God is releasing me to the places where God wants to go so that I expand that expansion of the word. It could mean that there'll be a sacrifice on my side. I will go. But in any way, I never do anything for money. I never do anything for God for money. I came to here as a man was broken, without a single cent. God blessed me with my miracles. I will write my miracles. All the God has done, I'll write it. I'll post it out on the internet next week. Every miracle God has done, my finance, the way He broke me, the way He grounded me, the way He's still grinding me in areas of my life, it's a process in our life. So God will always bless us. The wealth, only wealth I ask for in my life from God is my 3 sons to be baptized in the Spirit and submerged in the water, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and they will practice, and they will be, before they can be grounded like what I did in my life, they can come and serve God in any area of the life. And I pray that will be your prayer for your pastor. And release me wherever I need to go. I can't explain to you sometimes, but release me. And I pray that with you all. Amen? Praise God. And I know, I've come to a stature, there are people who are in this church can rise up. And I find when I am not here, people rise up. People will rise up. As they rise up, take the opportunity. Do not look at things, but look at the things that you have to see, that you grasp the time and the season. God opened the door for you. God opened the door for me to meet a time. Many times I was struggling in my life. God opened the door for me to see a person called Hildegard. That was my changing time. And I grasped the time and the season when I was given an opportunity to serve in this church. I took the opportunity. Because when He calls, when I call you to come and preach, when I call you to come and say do something, don't say, I cannot do it. Just do it. And God will do the rest for you. I can't do anything much for you. But God will do the rest for me. The anointing I have is different from anointing of Pastor Hildegard. Her anointing part of is upon me, but God anoints you so that you can pour out to people's life. So if you walk in pouring out people's life, then your life becomes meaningful. Your life becomes so good that you can be refined and you will walk differently from the others. What is the use of us being a Christian if we walk the same way as a non-believer? What is the use of a Christian who still has got that worldly things into our life? That's the reason why today I took the message of how Jesus picked these people. The unschooled was the man who rose up on the day when he was called, when the pouring out of the Spirit. The man who was unschooled was not put into programs. He rose up, and nobody can stop him from doing the things of God. Until the day he died, he did the work of God. Amen? So I pray today, you'll rise up. Take the opportunity. Walk with Jesus Christ. Be grounded with Him. When I say grounded, means not the grounded leg. Be ground, grind inside. And let Him to mold us. Even every day now, my walk, my thinking, my way of speaking, my way of being with you all, has got to be grounded. Amen? And we'll journey together in this. We'll journey together. And in the characteristics of the 12 people, every 12 of them have different characteristics. And all of them were not the same. Some were fighting for power to sit on the right hand, on the left hand side of Jesus Christ. Some did not. But Jesus, when He went on the cross, when the 3 people came to Him, the 2 thieves was crossed, He gave and He says, today, you'll be in paradise with me. He didn't tell to the apostles, but to a person who has not even known Him. But He said, you'll be in paradise with me. I want you to capture the secret, what God is revealing to all of us in the Word of God. When you get that secret, God will change our lives. Amen? And I pray today, you'll rise up for the moment and depend on Christ Jesus totally and he will do the rest of his life.
Amen?
Praise God. Let's now pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. I thank you that everything, Father, that you've given, the Lord, bestowed upon my life and upon this church and upon everyone whom you brought, Father God, those who have come and gone, Father, they will all fit into the purpose that you've got for them, Lord. And I pray blessings for every one of them as you have drawn them close to you and gave them the power and that same power you gave to your apostle that night, that day, Father, to send them out two by two shall fall upon these church members. And everyone who comes and goes into this church, let it be, Father God, freely you gave it to us, freely we shall give it to others. Let it be, a Lord, outpouring of your spirit, of that giving, of that trading, that transaction you had with your apostles, shall be upon the people of these days. And they shall rise up for the times and season today. They shall rise up for the occasion today. They shall not still be, Lord, plodding. They shall now start swimming as you showed to Ezekiel, Lord. It shall not be ankle level. It shall not be knee level. It shall not be hip level. But submerge us with your spirit. That we have no choice but to swim with you. Swim with the current of yours. Not against the current of yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.